This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Ace Fungicide from Syngenta for wheat growers who want to get a head start on head scab control. The markets are counting on Congress getting a fiscal stimulus package passed. And I do mean today. The strong rally in the U.S. equities bled over to the energy markets, and some traders started to dream about a return to normalcy in the country. Expecting the stimulus package is fair, but expecting a return to normal stuff still feels like hope rather than reality. And here, we're keeping it real on AgriTalk.
Live from undisclosed locations via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Glenn Ring from Glenn Ring Enterprises. And right after the news, Varsity Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain checks in. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory! Chip Flory!
Hit the right button! Here, Chip, I got it! We're good! We're good, we're good, we're good!
You were waiting on the applause, weren't you?
Well, no, I was not.
There
I'm
you
sorry.
Go.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Chip,
I was...
everyone! It's Chip, everyone!
I was looking at the Dow up 1,760 points. 1,760 points.
Now, as I recall on our first hour broadcast this morning, you took credit for the rally. Nice work, my friend. That's some nice work. I don't know how you did it. I don't need to know.
Yep. Holy smokes. Corn got turned around.
It did.
I find that kind of fascinating that corn was actually able to move from lower to higher. We even closed off the session highs, but we closed higher in corn. I'm a bit surprised by everything that's happened there. And for a while, at least, the energy markets were trying to move to the upside following what is going on in this in the equities. Big rally. Big rally on day two of this week. I think a lot of that is based on the idea that we're going to get a fiscal stimulus package to go along with the monetary policy, the loosening up of the money flow out there, hopefully that those expectations are right. We're going to be talking with Glenn Ring about a wide variety of issues. But I think everybody knows that Glenn is a student of the markets. He is an observer of people, of how people interact with each other and what that means for the markets going forward. Yeah. Well, if there's ever been a time to have a conversation with Glenn about his observations about mankind, this is probably a pretty good time to have that conversation. So I'm really looking forward to that.
By the
time everything is said and done, hopefully we'll have an idea of what to expect from these markets going forward as well.
Hey, that'd be great.
That would be good. That would be good.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it would. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. What you got?
Chip, wheat futures moved off of session lows as corn prices moved to the plus side of unchanged. Still, the lack of follow-through strength in wheat futures after yesterday's price strength was disappointing to many market watchers. Limiting buying interest in wheat was the general improvement in winter wheat crop conditions reported by USDA on Monday afternoon. May hard red winter wheat was 1¼ cents higher at 490¾. May soft red slipped a penny to 561½. May spring wheat up 4¾ to 535 even, Chip.
You know, yesterday on the big rally, open interest in the wheat market came down. So that's a pretty strong indication that yesterday's big rally was based on short covering in that wheat market.
Well, the rally in equities, which spilled over to the energy markets, also helped the corn market end with modest gains today. While corn prices do seem to be tied to the energy markets, at least for the moment, ethanol production cannot be adjusted with the flip of a switch. Poet Ethanol has stopped buying corn at some locations, and most, if not all, ethanol producers are planning to slow output in the weeks ahead as domestic fuel consumption slumps. May corn futures were 3¾ cents higher, 347¼. July corn was up 2½ cents at 352 even. December corn closed at 365¼, up a penny on the day. I hesitated to play the music, Chip, but, we'll take any gains we can get in this corn market right now.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. We're concerned about the domestic side of the market. Yeah. And it's funny how corn market watchers have gone from, okay, our exports stink, but our domestic demand is really good, to our domestic demand is starting to stink, but hopefully we'll get some back in the exports.
Right. Well, soybean oil futures help to stem selling interest in the soy complex. Palm oil production is likely to decline in the weeks ahead as Malaysia battles COVID-19. Chinese soybean meal stocks are also reportedly very tight, suggesting more demand for global bean supplies in the near term. Chinese crushers are reportedly suspending operations until more soybeans are available. Yeah. May bean futures were 2¾ higher, 886 and three quarters. July firmed 2 cents, 887.5. November 2020 bean futures closed at 875, up 2.5 cents, but
yeah, the Chinese sow herd was up like 2.8% January to February.
Yeah.
Normally that's a time of the year that we see the sow numbers come down a bit in China. Yep. But because they're trying to rebuild and recover from African swine fever, we saw this counter seasonal build in the sow herd. It doesn't look like COVID-19 really got in the way of the hog production in China. At least that's the appearance right now.
Well, most live and feeder cattle futures ended up the expanded daily limits as the futures market adjusts to changes in the cash markets. April live cattle were up $4.50, 106.15. August cattle jumped the limit, 98.25. And April feeders were $6.75 higher, 130.07.5. And finally, on the snout side, domestic pork demand is supporting lean hog prices, with April lean hogs up $1.85 at 66.42.5. And July hogs were $1.67.5 higher at 74.70. Chip.
There's another one. For so long, we were talking about how export demand was supporting those back month contracts in lean hog futures. And now all of a sudden, we've got the domestic demand helping to support the front months. So it's real interesting stuff, everything that's going on in here. Hey, get them sorted out. They need to go.
Get these pigs out of here.
All right, let's bring in Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. How you doing today, Joe?
Oh, doing all right.
Good, good, good. So corn was able to go from lower to higher today. It kind of felt good.
Yeah, it's kind of odd action when you consider the ethanol situation. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe you heard some rumors or even confirmation of some more Chinese purchases. That wouldn't surprise me given the action. And not only were we higher, but we both spread too, which is kind of weird for a market that appears to be losing a bunch of demand.
Yeah. And boy, you know, with the news that is hitting the market from the ethanol side of the balance sheet right now, that it's not encouraging at all. And that's probably going to keep this corn market tied to the energy markets for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And if you want to take the optimistic view, you know, you could make the argument that the Saudi situation could change at some point, and it could change just as quickly as they could cut production just as quickly as they increased production. And I'm no expert on that, and I don't think anybody knows for sure. But, you know, that's not out of the realm of possibility. This is not a death sentence for ethanol. It's very bad news short term, and it's really scary stuff. But it could very quickly go the other way, I think.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. The wheat trade yesterday, it looks like it was based on short covering, but at least it's good news that maybe the funds don't want to be short wheat any longer.
Yeah, I think the estimates I saw from private groups said that the funds are long SRW wheat again, and a pretty decent chunk of it too. I guess the situation in Russia is short-term friendly, but big picture, I don't know if I really see the story there.
Okay. All right, Joe. Hey, take care, buddy. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, see you, Chip. Bye.
All right, that is Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. All right, big picture view. That's what we're going to be doing next. Take a big picture view of what's happening in all these markets. We've got Glenn Ring from Glenn Ring Enterprises and View on Futures up next right here on AgriTalk. When it came to last year's wheat growing conditions, not all products came out on top. Today, I'm talking with Sarah Jahan, Agronomy Service Representative for Syngenta. Sarah, the last time we spoke, we discussed the challenging conditions wheat growers experienced in 2019. Given the rainy weather and high disease pressure, how do you feel Miravis Ace performed last year?
Miravis because ACE was a game changer. We've had research in Tennessee and Kentucky for the last few years, and it has been a step change in providing head scab control versus products currently on the market. And there's two reasons why. Number one, it's just intrinsically very active on head scab, but the length of residual to where we can put the chemistry on at 50% head emergence all the way straight through flowering and provide protection from head scab through the entire grain fill period. So huge advantage, not only just on the efficacy of Mirvis ACE, but also the ability to have a wider application window, which allows the grower to get over more acres and more maturity ranges in a single application. So on average, when we put it out versus the other head scab products, we're providing anywhere from a 3 to a 12 bushel difference versus the other head scab products. So it's pretty significant for when it comes to not only yield, but what has been most surprising is test weight improvements. On average, for the last 3 years in replicated research in Kentucky and Tennessee, we've seen as much as a 2-pound difference in test weight. We have numerous growers reporting that not only did they see a difference in yield, but just driving the combine, they could see where the competitive product stopped being sprayed and Mirvis ACE started. The wheat was much cleaner, much brighter, and that showed up just from the combine window.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah will be here again next week to give her 2020 recommendations, so make sure to tune in. To learn more about Mirvis ACE, contact your local Syngenta sales representative or visit syngentaus.com/Mirvis-ACE. Always read and follow label instructions.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Julie Edmonds is from Sperry, Iowa.
When you farm, you always want yields to be just that much better. But with the year that we had, they were worried, they were concerned, we all were, as far as what those yields might be. But they've been nicely surprised that they have some very good yields that they're working with. Olivo is important this year because of, especially when the soybeans went in early, and then the weather was not cooperating whatsoever, so the beans sat there. Basically, it's almost as if they stalled. So it was a good 2 to 3 weeks before we had sustainable emergence that we could really count on and know that the plants were healthy and going to get through the cold, wet snap that we had. So I'm very confident that Olivo helped sustain those plants through that. I don't know that you want to be going with something that's not as proven as Olivo, with something that's as important as your finances and your yield.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Olivo is a registered trademark of BASF. All rights reserved.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Whoa.
Let the proven performance of Prosaro fungicide maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season.
It's one of the great cowbell dominant songs. You can hear it there, can't you?
I can hear it a little bit.
Yeah.
Boy, if I could just have a little more cowbell.
You just need...
You know, that'd be really something.
If we could get more cowbell.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. And it's the production stuff. It's the production stuff that's where you really thrive, isn't it?
That is. It really is. Yeah. And I can provide cows, just none with bells. You know,
I'll bet if you look hard enough, you can find one with a bell.
These are new school cows, and they've embraced modern life without bells.
Gotcha. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am your host, Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson. And, pretty good day in the markets. The Dow, the last time I looked, up about 1,800 points, making a big move to the upside. We saw corn come off of session lows, move to higher levels for the close. Soybeans also modest gains there. Mixed trade in wheat. Live cattle, feeder cattle were limit up, except for that March contract, which had a $10 limit today. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a $10 limit tomorrow and on the final trading day of the contract. $10.
Sky's the limit.
Well, as long as
30 bucks is the limit.
Yeah, over.
Technically.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy that I don't understand exactly how we're changing the rules right in the final days of the game. But,
well, it's always good policy to switch horses midstream, right?
Sure. That's what the CME decided to do. All right, let's bring in Glenn Ring. Glenn Ring Enterprises, view on futures. Glenn, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm fine, but I'll bet you'll never underestimate a February break again.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. This has been one of those events, Glenn, that there's going to be books written about what has happened over the last 6 weeks. And trying to take it all in real time and digest it and make it make sense is a tough job, man.
Yeah, it's especially hard if you have to deal with it every day like the people that are in the business. If you stand back a little bit on it, it makes some sense. It's a huge boulder thrown into the pond. It fits frankly, what I've been worried about for a long time, ever since we peaked in 2008, that someplace the pendulum needs to swing back the other way.
Right.
And we caught a marketplace that was so vulnerable to being purged. Right. And I don't mean just because of, what do I want to say, current positions type thing. I'm talking about the psyche out there. We have yet to convince the commodity world that we don't need all the commodities we have. Now, I don't have a solution to that because, you know, it is a world market now. But we got caught with a time where the lack of velocity in our money movement, you know, we've been declining on money the speed that money turns over for a couple of decades already. And this is what happens in what I call the cycle of man. You follow those manic events like we had in the middle of the last or the first decade of this century with a pendulum swing where, you know, everybody's throwing their money away and they're chasing after stuff. They'll convert their dollars to everything to the point now where they're going to start converting everything to dollars.
Right.
It's what we call a bull market in cash. And I'm hoping, as far as the immediate future, that the first phase of this shock is running its course even now.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonably optimistic. My volatility work had warned me already a week ago that we were probably getting close to swing lows in the stock market, and even though the stock market isn't the key indicator, it's the headline market right now.
Right.
And so if we can get a little bit of relief there, we can possibly thaw up other markets. And in fact, we've actually been structurally, amazingly orderly in our declines in the commodity world, with the exception of cattle. And those declines, all you've done is taken like an accordion and stretched it out to its fullest extent.
Yep.
But if you had, you know, pushed those prices back together, our structures are pretty orderly, which is actually encouraging to me in the sense that we have a reasonable chance now to get some seasonal recoveries.
Okay.
And there's an outside chance, more than an outside chance, reasonable chance that the cattle market will be more than a seasonal recovery. It could be a true V event.
Yeah.
In fact, credit goes back to Pro Farmer, to my days there. 30 years ago, the research done by Pro Farmer was how the cattle market often breaks before an economic slowdown. Yeah. Now, how it knew it was coming, who knows? But the cattle market often benefited, especially the beef side, benefited from the slowdown.
Right.
When people quit buying high-ticket items, they tend to eat better.
Right. Right, absolutely. Absolutely. They'd cut back on some of the durable goods purchases and
yes.
And instead of saving all that money, they'd eat a little bit better. Yeah. Yeah, and well, that was true at least in the past, and we'll see right. How it all relates here in the future. You mentioned the headlines that are hitting the market on a daily basis, Glenn. The headlines aren't just headlines anymore. They are screamers. They are screaming at consumers. The headlines are screaming at the market. Every time I see these things, and I can't always do it myself. I cannot always do it myself. I try to control my emotions. I try to, you know, the old keep calm and carry on. And it's sometimes it's just not easy.
No, I agree, and I've sometimes looked at myself because I mean I've got 49 years of watching markets, and I wonder if I'm being too calm about things. I am concerned for other people, but what's happening actually makes sense. But if you go back and look at history, and I'm talking about whether it's 9/11 or if it's 1987 or 1929 or even times when it's been on the upside, like 2008, if you're not in that moment, you can stand back and see how the emotions left their footprints all over the marketplace. And the highly emotional phases are actually have a higher degree of probability or predictability to them. And so as I watched this first meltdown that we've just seen run out here, I would have been very, very confident that when this thing runs its course, then we find out just what we've got. You take an example of, people, and I'm not equating it to the Great Depression, except for pattern in time. In 1929, when we crashed, the stock market crashed at the end of October, we bottomed prices about two and a half weeks later, after the biggest amount of movement down. Then we recovered for 5 months.
Yeah.
But it's when that recovery failed that we got
yes.
in trouble. It was from 1930
to 1932. Then you go back down and test the lows. Yeah.
Well, and you went way to new lows. You went far
right.
into new lows. 1987, on the other hand, we crashed, and we rebounded up, and then we spent the next 18 months, 2 years going sideways.
Right.
So we won't know for sure what we've got on our hands until we see the round of recoveries.
Right.
I'm cautiously optimistic that we could, well, in a normal year, if we were turning up right now in soybeans and corn, I would look for recoveries to last into May and June.
Okay.
I understand that we could be in a worst-case scenario here and that we could be cut short at any time. But right now, the way we're acting here, I'll give the soy market, the wheat market, benefit of the doubt till proven otherwise.
Okay.
I mean, you go back at least a week since you've seen wheat close lower than it opened. So it is short covering. I agree with that right now, but you know we have whacked out the longs, and now we're gonna drive out some of the shorts. My concern is we're gonna drive out so much participation, because there's going to be some commodity funds that got in trouble with the size of these breaks. I'm worried that we're gonna drive out participation. So it's gonna be quite a while before we are likely to have moves that really sustain to the upside. Again, with the possible exception of the cattle market, in my mind.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, for to those that are anticipating that snapback rally, that V bottom in these markets, you're saying, hey, you know what, just kind of calm down. Give it a little time to happen.
Even if it's a V, allow it to give us the V, and then it'll give us a consolidation if we're good, and then we'll go higher later. But right now, yes. But don't stand in front of something that's V-ing like wheat is at the moment. But those, you know, we're looking at, you think about this, we're looking at a week's worth of rally in wheat, and it's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay? But we're only 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks off the highs in the stock market.
Yeah.
And look how impressive that is, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's very impressive.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
That's right. Glenn, when we come back, I want to talk about this dollar, monetary policy, what it's going to do, what we have already done to the potential value of the dollar going forward. We've got Glenn Ring right here on AgriTalk.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Debate as to whether the cure is worse than the sickness on COVID-19. Politics still holding up. Congressional aid package, and it is still holding it up. President Donald Trump hints at a short shutdown. He said our country was not built to be shut down. This is a country that was built for this. It was not built to be shut down. Pelosi released her 1,100-page bill on Monday. House Majority Whip James Clyburn from South Carolina was heard last week advising Democrats to view the crisis as a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. Nothing like looking at an emergency as an opportunity. Finally, Malaysia shutters plantations and factories to in top palm oil producing states, and atypical rise in China's hog herd from January to February.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council. To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Got a 10% rally going in the Dow right now, up 1867 on the Dow. Davis, before we get back to the conversation with Glenn, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, May hard red winter wheat was 1¼ cents higher at 490¾. May SRW slipped a penny to 561½. May corn futures were 3¾ cents higher at 347¼. December corn closed at 365¼, up a penny on the day. May soybean futures were 2¾ higher, 886¾. November bean futures closed at 875, up 2½ today. April live cattle futures were 2¾ cents higher. April live cattle were up $4.50. 106.15. April feeders $6.75 higher at 130.07½. April lean hogs up 185 at 66.42½. There is your quick market recap on
AgriTalk.
Now back to you, Chip.
Thank you, sir. All right. Let's get back to Glenn Ring. Glenn is with Glenn Ring Enterprises, View on Futures. And Glenn, I said I want to talk about this dollar and what is happening here. Just to recap what has happened. But back on March 9th, the dollar index posted a low at around 94.53. On yesterday, at the high, we were at 103.96. I mean, is a rip-your-face-off rally that we saw in the value of the dollar, at least the dollar index. We've sat back today. We sat back yesterday, sat back again today. We were sharply lower at one point and still are. But the monetary policy that the Fed is pushing through, Glenn, will it help the dollar maintain strength, or is it eventually going to wear away on us?
Well, if you put eventually in the world of several decades, it's going to wear away on it.
No. I don't want to go several decades. Let's go several months.
Well, we got to go into the long term patterns, and here's the problem.
Okay.
When you get a bull market in cash, people have been amazed that it has never been a problem in the history of man as being a supply problem. It's a velocity problem. And as hard as the Fed pushes, they're pushing on a string. They can't make the money turn over. The populace gets scared, and they sit on the cash. So you've got to, and that's the behavior problem that we're going to be dealing with probably here for several years, to get people to feel safe and spend like they used to. So if we put the cash in their hands, it doesn't mean they'll spend it. And that's always been the problem with mankind. Now, I'm going to give the Trump administration, the Fed, and everyone else working on this right now credit for trying things I've never seen. And I've tracked back to the times of Babylon, you know, like 1785 B.C., and you hear the complaints. They sound a lot like current complaints. Mankind has never successfully overcome this bull market in cash. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't try, and I see things being attempted that have never been tried. So will it work? I don't know. But if it does,
you're going to have to explain exactly what you mean by this bull market in cash. I mean, what is a bull market in cash? What does that do to my buying power?
It increases your buying power if you are cash heavy. A quick way to explain the difference between a swing in a market and a bull market in cash. If corn goes from $8 to $4 and cocoa goes from $20 to $30, corn came down, cocoa went up. Mm-hmm. But if corn goes from 8 to 4 and cocoa goes from 30 to 15 and gold isn't a good example because it's a wild card. Copper goes from, you know, 200 to 100 and all the commodities do pretty much the same. Then the value of the dollar doubled. It takes half as many dollars to buy the same amount of commodity.
Right.
Or $8 would buy you 2 bushels of corn instead of one.
Right.
Well, that's a lot stronger dollar. So when you get a bull market in cash, people convert property to cash. In the first decade of this century, we were converting cash to property. So that's the concern I have going forward about this. You know, if we're lucky And the possibility is that the coronavirus catalyst slammed the fear into us so fast that maybe we have the worst of it out of the way already. If we're unlucky, we're going to take a couple three years before people get excited about being aggressive. So, you know, my general view right now is I will convert items to cash when I can, including my commodities, and I will re-own if we start making new highs for the year in multiple markets.
Okay. Let's get outside of the commodity markets for just a moment while we're talking about this and talk about the land market. What does that mean for land?
That's a good question because of the amount of equity that's still out there. People are going to be looking for places to go with money. I have no problem buying farmland with cash, 100% down, to store wealth. It's like buying gold to store wealth. Okay. But if you put 50% down and the price of land falls in half, you got no equity and the lender's completely whole.
Right.
So I have no problem buying land for that purpose. As to what this does for the price of land, it's going to depend upon how long this endures. If it endures, the land will follow to the downside.
Okay.
If it doesn't endure, if we happen to be a flash event that's over here in a handful of months, different story. I know what history tells me, to bet on the 3 years, but to respect that we could be done in a handful of months.
Okay.
So I'm not quite there yet to know what's coming. It's like I said earlier, we're going to know whether it's in commodities or stocks or anything else, we're going to know what we have on our hands by the subsequent rebound. And I'm allowing those rebounds months to play out.
Okay.
Especially in the equities.
Yep.
So... The other thing I would point out here quick for an optimism.
Yeah.
For our kids and our grandkids, dollar cost averaging is God's gift to investing.
Yeah.
If they were buying stocks at the highs, keep putting their money in, even if we go down 50, 70% in value.
Yep.
Long term, for our kids and grandkids, they got plenty of time.
Yep, that's exactly right. Exactly. Okay, let's start to take some volatility out of these markets and bring some stability into them. What does it look like?
It looks like recoveries at first, and then it gets into non-trending, which is also called sideways. Mm-hmm. If people want an example of that, look how gold played from August to the end of the year, or how T-bonds played from August to the end of the year. Just turn it the other way around. Look at what silver did after breaking down from the 2011 highs. We crashed in high volatility. Then we rebounded for roughly 20 weeks, if I recall right. It crashed again later, and it took 80 weeks to make new lows after that crash. Eventually, we went lower. But it tends to be crash and then just chop people up. Crash, chop people up.
Okay.
The one thing I'd point out, though, just in case weather becomes an issue, et cetera, the later we clear this winter's highs in the crops, the better odds that it has to carry. So let's say we start making new highs in corn after the 4th of July. I'll stand up and take note of that.
Okay.
If we recover, even if it's meager, I mean, I could see December corn not getting back above 377 if we get a seasonal rally, you know, on a sustained basis. So if we don't get any higher than that, that's what we get.
Okay.
And all these crops, I sell new lows.
Okay.
We start making new lows.
All right. The commodities that are closest to what's going to be the difference in the recovery from something like corn. We talked about it earlier in the in the show. Right now it seems to be tied to the energy markets versus beef
yes.
that is a quick knife away from the meat case.
I think what you might be having happen right now in the commodities is find the commodities that have the shortest line from raw materials to the grocery store. You know, it doesn't take much to get beef into the grocery meat case. It doesn't take much to get wheat made into flour.
Right.
You know, corn's got to go through that hog to get them into the grocery case or through that chicken for the most part. And that appears to be what's going on, although I would be troubled with that thought because some of the staples didn't recover, especially sugar, which has long-term been a staple.
Right.
But, you know, you go through the grocery store and they're cleaned out of toilet paper and yeast and flour. Well, some people understand what they're doing, but, you know, sugar is a little bit better supply. A little troubled by this. by that not being a quite the broad-based event. But right now, I'm not so sure that we aren't seeing a ripple effect in our futures prices from the runs on the grocery stores.
Yeah.
That probably won't be a long-term phase. It'll probably be short-term, relatively speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, what are you relying most on right now? I know that you're a longer-term guy, but what are you relying most on right now for short-term guidance?
Short-term guidance, I've been watching volatility. For the most part, I want to stand aside, but I've been watching volatility. I watched volatility peak in the stock indexes on the recent break. I've been watching volatility peak in other things. When volatility peaks, markets often turn in relatively near term. High volatility, usually leads to non-trending. What I'm watching last week's highs in most markets, okay, if we can get above them. I'm watching last month's highs, if we start getting over them. I will note soybean meal having blown through an old crop recent highs. Right now, though, that's a character of meal to put three to six week bursts. And when they burst for 3 to 6 weeks, they usually don't carry long term. So this it could be shooting itself in the foot in the long term. And I'm concerned that new crop meal isn't performing very well. Right. So this does look like to me like there's something unique about the meal market, something internal to that right now. Expect a lot of volatility, not as much volatility as we've had, but expect a lot of swings back and forth, and especially if we lose participation.
Right.
We're going to have less resistance to having some fairly wild swings going forward yet.
Gotcha. Glenn, thank you so much for your time, buddy. Yep. We really appreciate it. I'm going to go back and listen to this one. Thank you, my friend.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, that's Glenn Ring, View on Futures. We've got more AgriTalk in a moment.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
and try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Chip.
Yes.
This is a significant recording. It's Stan Kenton.
Okay.
It's called The Peanut Vendor.
All right.
It was made in Cuba, and it was the first record on 78. You know, you got 45s, 33s, yep. And they used to have 78s. The first one to sell 1 million copies.
Really?
That's right.
Is that off your own personal vinyl collection?
No. It did come out of my collection, but not on vinyl.
Not on vinyl?
Gotcha. No.
Gotcha. We're going into the last 10 minutes of trade, and shockingly,
yes,
the Dow is still around 1850 higher. I mean, it's been chopping around some, but it seems to be tethered to that 1850 area right now. So this morning, when we got done with the morning show, our last guest was from American Red Cross, and we were talking about the need to schedule some blood donations because the blood drives aren't happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a tight supply. At the very end, I just mentioned, you know, the other thing to keep into consideration is the mental health of everybody out there. Make a phone call to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Davis, I got response to that. Emails, some direct messages. Good job. Keep pushing that.
Fantastic.
Yep. One comment in particular that I got from one listener was that if you get a phone call, don't assume that they're calling just to check up on you.
Hmm.
Explain. They could be giving you a chance to check up on them. They could be hurting a bit.
Funny you bring that up. I got a phone call from my best friend. He's up in Wisconsin. You know, they went on lockdown yesterday.
Right.
And he just called me. I said, buddy, I'm in commercial break right now. I'm going to have to call you back. He's not feeling well. I think you're really on to something there with they may not be calling necessarily to check on you, but to be checked on by you.
To be checked on. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. If the phone does ring and if you're not in the middle of something and you can put a job down, put it down for just a bit and have the conversation, because they may need it worse than you do. All right. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. I thought that was really important, and I wanted to make sure that we had plenty of time to talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord, dude. Here's one thing that I'm scared to talk about, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. These numbers are according to Sterling Beef Profit Tracker, Sterling Marketing. Oh, you guys know him. John Nalivka.
Uh-huh.
This is the week ending March 20th, so last week. Feedlot margins, $89.49 in the hole.
Negative, you're saying. So 90 negative. Bucks.
90 bucks. Just call it 90 bucks in the hole for the feedlots. The Packer profit margins? The Packer profit margins were $504 per head.
I saw that too.
It was an incredible increase from the previous week. It ain't right what happened in this cattle market. I don't know how we figure out exactly what happened, how it happened, why it happened, but we need to. And, you know, I made a comment yesterday about we need to be careful in regulating, in adjusting, in there are proposals that are going to be out fairly soon that are going to suggest that we tie the price of cattle directly to that boxed beef market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds great right now. It sounds great. But what happens when our cattle supply tightens up and our beef demand pukes?
Right.
And the beef price drops, but our cattle price goes up. It's been a long time since the Packers have lost any money. As a matter of fact, the most recent that I could find, I think, was in 2017, and it was for 1 week.
Oh, geez.
For 1 week in the year that they lost some money. But making long-term adjustments and regulations into a market, we need to be really careful. Davis, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. There is a difference between demand for beef and demand for cattle.
Oh, sure. Yep.
There is a difference. Now, when you've got a $500 profit margin for Packers, you would think that the demand for those cattle are just going through the roof.
Yeah.
And normally it would be, because if they're making $500, I guarantee dang tea that they want to kill another steer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to do. So it just makes you wonder, are they bumping up against the capacity that they've set for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Could they kill more? I believe it. Yes, they could kill more. Because when you go back to August and what happened after the fire in Holcomb and how they spread those numbers out through the rest of the industry.
Right.
Or through the other slaughterhouses. Yes. I mean, if they would really want to ramp things up, they could kill more. I don't think there's any
question. It was barely a blip. It was barely a blip on output, right?
Right.
As I recall.
So how this all shakes out, I'm not exactly sure. Here's what I want. I want Packers and Stockyards to release the results of the investigation into the cattle market that followed the Holcomb fire. We've got to have those. So that way we at least know the parameters with which we are working going forward. Okay? We gotta know that stuff. And if we don't know it right now, then making judgment and making fair judgment on what is happening in this industry with feed yards losing $90 and Packers making $500. Now that's going to change after this week some. But in that kind of a situation, how do you judge it? I mean, all I know is that it's out of whack.
Yeah.
That's all I know. I'm not going to call it busted, but it's out of whack. All right, okay. For Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening. Tomorrow morning, we've got Dr. John Howe from the American Veterinarian Medical Association right here on AgriTalk.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon, Fierce Brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Thanks to Miravis Ace Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Ace to get a head start on head scab control. Always read and follow label instructions.